We are in Psalm 119, and we have worked our way to verse number 41. Psalm 119, verse 41. I was thinking this week that there probably has not been a time in history in which we have more access to the Word of God than we do today. We have it in written form. We have it in electronic form. We have it in audio form, video form. It seems that we have the Word of God available to us in so many different avenues, and yet the Word of God is still mostly unread and unstudied. And so what I'm trying to do on these Sunday evenings is trying to share with you what the Word of God says about the Word of God. And we're doing that from Psalm 119. And not only is Psalm 119 not only the longest psalm, but did you know that Psalm 119 is longer than 30 other books of the Bible? So God is interested in us understanding the value and the help and the advantage we get from reading and studying the Word of God. It is a substantial study on the Word of God that we find in Psalm 119. And so far, we have looked at the ministry of the Word as Psalm 119 is broken up in stanzas of 8 verses, all each stanza beginning with one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. We have seen the ministry of the Word as the Word produces in us believers happiness, holiness, humility, and the honoring of God. It is the Word of God that sanctifies us, and the only way that we can be cleansed and our way be cleansed is through the sanctifying process of the Word of God. We talked about the life of the Word. Our lives are to be lived for the glory of God, and our lives should be lived seeking to have our eyes opened to see the wondrous works of God in His Word. And opposition should not deter us from the pursuit of seeing God's works in the Word. We saw the encouragement of the Word as we looked at a determination to be in the Word and to stick with the Word will ultimately yield encouragement during times of discouragement and disappointments. And last time we were together, we looked at the desire for the Word as we pray and we plead with God to cause the Word to have a spiritual effect on every part of our being, our minds, our eyes, our ears, our hands, our feet, our heart, and so on. We want the Word of God to have a full effect on us. And so we want to look here at this stanza tonight, 41 through 48, and I want to say three things about it. Verse 41, the psalmist says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." And that's God's word for us tonight, and all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come and face an impossible task. The task of rightly delivering the Word and the task of receiving the Word and receiving it with understanding. That is beyond us. We are incapable of doing that without the work of the Holy Spirit. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit would preach, and the Holy Spirit would preach in a way that there is clarity and clearness, and that the Holy Spirit would bring understanding in the reception of the Word, and that we would be helped, we would be encouraged, we would be challenged, and we would examine our own hearts to see how we really feel about the Word of God. And I pray that as we work our way through this great chapter of Your Word, that You would birth in every heart here a desire, a love, and a longing for Your Word. And I pray that what we say tonight would be true, and what is not helpful that we would leave off, and that You would get glory and honor from all that we say and think. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Looking at this stanza, scholars believe it concerns the testimony of the psalmist. And I would remind you that our testimonies are important. It is that we as believers are to testify of light in the midst of total darkness. We as believers are to testify of life in an environment of spiritual death. And we are to testify of hope in an atmosphere of apathy. And our testimony, as we will see here in this passage of Scripture, is tied and connected to the Word of God. And I want to show you that tonight by offering three things. Number one, the answer of a testimony. The answer of a testimony. Look again at verses 41 and 42. The psalmist says to the Lord, "Let thy mercies come also to me, even thy salvation." The word salvation there is not spiritual salvation as in a new birth, but deliverance from a difficult situation. "Let thy mercies come also to me, O Lord, even thy deliverance." And how do mercies come? And how does deliverance come? According to thy word. "So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word." Notice, he says something about his deliverance by the word. The psalmist seems to be experiencing the slander and the verbal abuse of others for his dedication and commitment to the Word of God. And what we have seen is that not only is he dedicated and committed to read it, but he's also dedicated and committed to live it. So he knows that in the midst of this slander and abuse, that he needs mercy and he needs deliverance. Or we could say this: he knows that if he tries to deliver himself, he'll ruin his testimony. So he needs God's mercy and he needs God's rescue from the situation. He does not want to go through the further reproach of those around him, but he knows that the resources he needs for mercy and for deliverance and the rescue of God will come through the Word of God. Where do you find the mercies of God? Or where do you find the confidence in the mercies of God? You find them in the Word of God. Where do you find confidence that God will go with you and through the problems alongside you? You find that in the Word of God, in His promises. It is in the Word of God that we find confidence in God's mercy and confidence that He will go through this ordeal with us. We're not assured that He will deliver us from the situation, but we are promised that He will go with us through the situation. And so we find that when we doubt that, when we come to situations where we question that, we find the answers to that and the confidence of that when we are in the Word of God. Through the Word, we find the resources needed to encounter the trials that we face. Notice not only His deliverance by the Word and the mercy and the salvation of God, but notice His dependence upon the Word. He says that His response to those who reproach Him will be the response that He learns and obtains from the Word of God. Now, how many of you have reacted to reproach not from the Word of God, but from your emotions, from your feelings? And when we react according to emotions or feelings, we normally make a mess of things. Say amen. And we normally bring harm to our own testimony. What the psalmist says here is that if we are going to react to the reproach that comes to us in a way that is pleasing to God and in a way that our testimony would be sustained, is that we must react according to the teaching of the Word of God. And how will I know how to react according to the Word of God if I don't read the Word of God? Then he gives us the reason why he will react according to the Word of God. Do you see it? He says that he trusts the Word. I trust the Word. Have you ever thought that maybe the reason we don't react with the Word is that we don't trust the Word? I trust my own emotions and feelings far more than I trust the Word of God. Because if I react according to the Word of God, you're not going to know exactly how I feel. And you're not going to understand exactly how much you have agitated and aggravated me. And you're not going to know how angry I am with you. But the psalmist says, I trust that this situation will be repaired and breached if I react by the Word of God. That is trust in the power of the Scriptures. Amen? Now, he is committed to the Word of God. He believes that the Word of God will guide him to a proper response to whatever reproach he receives. And he believes that the very best thing that he could say is what God's already said. Amen? You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Just say what God said. And God will take it from there. Amen? So if we want to maintain our testimony, protect our testimony, we have to be careful in how we answer reproaches. How do we answer those who are aligned against us? How do we answer those who would ridicule and rebuke us? We've got to be careful that we don't answer them out of anger, out of hurtness, out of bitterness. We answer them from God's own words. Amen? And who could argue with God's words? If we trust the Word of God, we will answer from the Word of God, and that will help us protect our testimony as we give an answer. Number two, notice, not only do we see some things said about here about the answer of a testimony, but we also see some things here said about the absence of a testimony. Now, let me flesh this out just a bit. We all have a testimony. Some of our testimonies is good, and some of our testimonies are bad. Right? You can have a positive testimony for the Lord, or you can have a negative testimony for the Lord. Is that right? So when I say there's an absence of a testimony, I'm not saying there's an absence of any kind of testimony. I'm saying there's an absence of a positive testimony to the glory of God. Now look what the psalmist says here. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. For I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Do you see that the psalmist is anxious about something? He is frightened about something. He fears something here. And I think what the psalmist is fearing is that he will have no testimony of the Lord to share. Do you fear that? That when given the opportunity to share a testimony for the Lord, your past will go before you and will take the words of truth out of your mouth? He says, Lord, don't take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. He is pleading with God that he not lose his testimony for the Lord. And let me say something. You can spend a lifetime building a testimony, and you can lose it in a second. Amen? The wrong response, the wrong way, and the wrong tone can ruin your testimony with people. What he fears is that the word of truth will be taken out of his mouth, or in other words, what he says will have no impact. What he says will not have any influence. That he would lose his opportunity to share the truth with others. Now, his anticipation, or he anticipates that at the judgment of God, he is going to receive positive results because his trust is not in himself, his trust is in Christ, or in the Messiah that is still to come. So he's trusting, his hope is that good things will happen at the judgment. He had hope in the work of the coming Messiah, but he feared losing the privilege of sharing the truth with others here. How does that happen? Or why should we not fear that? Why are we so unaffected by that reality or that potential reality? Notice what he says. He says here about something agreeing with his testimony. There has to be an agreement. He says, don't take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. I will keep the law continually, and I will seek God's precepts. And the reason I think that he is so eager and so interested in obeying the truth of God's word is that he knows for his testimony to be approved, his life must agree with his lips. Now, folks, listen to me. It is hard to tell the truth about the transforming power of the new birth and of the indwelling of the Spirit in His redemptive work to those around us when that particular belief that we are sharing has had no change on our behavior? Amen? If your life doesn't back up your words, you will lose opportunity to share Christ. Say amen. There are people that say something about Jesus I don't even want to hear them say. Why? I know their life. And I know what they say they believe has had absolutely no effect on them. And if Christ doesn't change things, why do I need Him? We lose our opportunity to share Christ when our lives are lived in total disregard for the Word of God. People will tell me, I believe in God, I love God, I love Jesus, I love Him. Well, do you obey His Word? Do you go to church? Or are you with God's people? Do you try to live according to His Word? Well, no, I don't go to church, but I love Him. No, you don't. And I don't want to hear what you have to say. Say amen. Because I know your life. Is that right? The psalmist says, I will keep your commandments. I will pursue and I will search after your precepts. Why? Because I know my life has to agree with what I say. Because if I don't live what I say I believe, what I believe means absolutely nothing. You with me? Notice number three, the actions of a testimony. Are you all awake? Is this working? I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. And my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. Twice he says, I love your commandments. And I will meditate in thy statutes. He doesn't say I will read them, but he says I will turn those over and over and over and over and over again all day long. We've got this wrong. We have books being sold now. A 90-second devotion. You got 90 seconds for the Lord? Have a devotion. When what the Bible says is not have a devotion, but meditate upon the Word of the Lord all day long. Make the Word of God a part of your daily thought process. Think upon the Word and meditate upon the Word and activate the Word in every situation of your life. In other words, your testimony will lead you to action. Notice his disregard of cost. I do want to remind you that it's easy to speak the truth when you're among people that agree with the truth. When you're at church on Sunday morning, it's easy to raise your hand and say amen. Well, maybe not so easy because you don't do much of it, but it's easier, amen. It's easier to raise a hand, say amen, say glory. It's easier to speak about the truth of Christ and the truth of the Word of God because there's little resistance to that. But what happens when we stand before those who have the power and the authority to imprison us? What happens when we stand before those who have the power to ruin us? What happens when the government says, you stand for the truth, Lakeview Baptist, and you're losing your 501c status, you're losing your tax-exempt status, you have to pay taxes on every penny that comes in and taxes on every piece of property you own if you keep preaching the truth? What happens when we stand before those who have the power and authority to even take our lives? Will we be so eager to share the gospel then? will we be so eager to give our testimony then? Will we be so eager to tell others that Christ is the only way of salvation and all other ways is our roads to hell? Here's the question. Where is it in your life that you will not share the gospel? Or where is it in your life that you have not shared the gospel? Is it at your job? With your friends? Is it when you're with the fellows on the team? Where is it that you will not speak of Him or for Him? Where is it that you are a secret Christian? Can I remind you that a testimony of truth knows no place of shame? Let me say that again. A testimony of truth knows no place of shame. It speaks in every place and to every person, no matter how high the position of the person is, no matter how high the place is, the testimony of truth will be spoken to all people in all places. So somebody tells me, you can come, but we don't want you talking that Jesus stuff. Well, I can't come. Say amen. Because if I come, I might not have talked Jesus, but now I am. Somebody help me. Where is it that we will not speak about Jesus? Where is it that we will not testify of Him? Is it in the high places? The psalmist says, to the King, I will tell of Christ and the truth and will not be ashamed. When you study those saints that God raised up during the Reformation, you will see those who spoke the truth and they would not be silenced even when they were tying them to the stake and setting them on fire. They would not be silent of the truth of Jesus Christ. May we be so filled with boldness from the Word of God that we cannot help but share it every place to every person that we find ourselves in. The Word of God will cause your testimony to speak. You won't have to wait for a testimony service. Amen? We've got that all messed up too. The only place we ever testify is in church. Testify out there. Amen. Testify to your boss. Testify to the school. Testify to your friends. Testify to all of them. Amen. If you're truly in the Word of God, you can't help but talk about the Word of God. It's the greatest book ever written. Amen. I think, you know, we talk about movies and say, have you seen this movie? I saw that. You know, we talk about movies and we talk about books and things like that. When we've got the greatest book that has ever been penned down, the very words of God, should we not say, have you read Luke? My goodness, we just went through Luke at church. Have you read that book? No? Let me tell you about it. Amen? My aunt, I've told you about my aunt before. When I was in high school, middle school, high school, my aunt was, every time she would come around, she'd talk Jesus stuff. And she'd talk about going to church stuff. And I was lost and I didn't want to hear that stuff. But she never failed. Even though she knew I didn't want to hear that stuff, and even though whatever she said probably wasn't going to have any impact on me whatsoever, she never failed. To the point when I saw her coming, I went out the back door so I didn't have to deal with her. But you know what I remember? Every single time she was going to say something without fail, to the point that I just said, I don't need to be around her. Would be to God that people were avoiding us, not because of our arrogance or not because of our attitude, but because we simply share the truth. Notice his delight for God's commandments. I want to say something, and I hope you'll receive it graciously. If you say you love God and you have little regard for His Word or the keeping of His commandments, your love for God is simply just religious talk. That's all it is. The psalmist says, your commandments, I love them. Your commandments, I love them. I meditate on your statutes. Now, what are commandments? Are they not the requirements that God has for us? He didn't say, your promises I love, those good things I love your commandments. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my, commandments. If we say we love God and we have little regard for His Word, we don't delight in reading it or studying it or keeping the commandments of God, our love for God is simply just religious talk. There's no substance to it. It's shallow. And the psalmist here loves the Word. He loves the commandments. Why? Because not only does the Word speak of God, the God he loves, but the commandments are the very words of God whom he loves. This is God's book. And if I love God, how could I not love the book that he wrote? If I love God, how could I not love to hear His voice in this book? Amen? You ever see somebody get a call on their cell phone and somebody they don't particularly like or don't want to particularly talk to, the name comes up and they go, But if it's their kid, Kelsey shows up. Hello? Why? Why do we want to talk to some people and we're not so hot about talking to others? Because the ones we want to talk to and hear from are the ones we love. Say amen. When that comes up and says, D-heck, I'm hitting ignore. Or especially if that comes up IRS, I'm not home. But if Justin or Kelsey or Denise calls, I'm answering. Say amen. I'm going to tell you the rudest thing that I think happens with cell phones. Now this is free, not in my notes. I'm not going to charge you a dime for it. When you're talking to someone and you say, hang on, I got another call, what that means is I got somebody more important to talk to than you. When you call my phone and it just rings and goes to voicemail, I'm probably on there with talking to somebody else who I'm not going to suspend their conversation to talk to you. Unless it might be Kelsey or Justin that I think may be in a wreck somewhere, and I'll go and check if Kelsey's in a wreck. No, she just wants to talk. I'll call her back later. I'm on the phone. Amen? Say amen. That's free. Whether you agree with that or not, that's not Bible. That's just me. Amen? But this book is the voice of God, is it not? This is a heavenly book. How eager the psalmist is to receive the Word of God. You see what he says? He says, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to receive the Word of God. I'm not waiting for it to come. I'm reaching for it. That's how eager he was for the Word of God, to study the Word, to learn the Word, to hear the Word, to obey the Word. You see, the Word of God is not a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night event. It is a saturation of the Word. Meditation is a saturation. It is a chewing over and over and over again, getting every bit of truth from the Word of God. It is constantly meditating on the Word. And the psalmist says, I find delight in the Word. I had a pastor ask me this week, in all sincerity, he asked me, how I would advise him in getting his people to read the Word of God. He says, I just can't get them to read the Bible. How do I get them to read the Bible? You know what I told him? I don't have a clue. Amen? I said this. I said, you don't want to guilt them into it. You don't want to get up and just rail. You ought to read your Bible, you bunch of lazy things. You ought to be reading your Bible. How? You don't want to do that. And that they go and they read their Bible because they're guilted into it. I had a pastor one time who said that if you don't get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and read your Bible and pray for an hour, you're not really a good Christian. So I tried that. He guilted me into that. You know what happened? I got up at 5, and at 5:05, I was asleep. Didn't work. Guess what I didn't do? He didn't make me read my Bible. He didn't make me pray. I said, you don't want to guilt your people into doing that. You don't want to try to manipulate them into doing that. Here's what I said. I don't know how he took it, but here's what I said. I said, if they don't find delight in reading the Bible and hearing the voice of God, they simply won't read it. And if they do, they will. You've got to pray that God would cause them to delight in His Word. You've got to preach the Word. You've got to expositionally preach the Word. Show them how wonderful the Word is. Preach Psalm 119, what the Bible says about the Bible, and just let them see how wonderful, how awesome this book really is, so that they will read it, and as they read it, they will delight in reading it, and they can't wait to read it. Right? Instead of, oh Lord, my little checklist says I got to read 2 chapters today. I better get on it. No. I get to hear from God. What does God have to say to me today? So twice he says he loves the Word, and his love for the Word is evidence of his love for God. I have learned that those people who have a love for a certain version of the Bible really don't love the Bible. They just love a version. They don't read it any more than somebody that reads some other. A testimony is not passive. It is active. Because a testimony that is fed by the Word of God will cause you to speak even to kings and not be ashamed. And it will cause you to delight in the Word of God. Amen? How do we sustain our testimony? In the Word. It will give us the answers to those who rebuke us. It will keep us from having an absence of testimony. It will cause our testimony to be active in a lost world. Let's pray.